right there in verses 10 and 11, God makes a declaration. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Couple that to verse 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in his power. Great is the Lord and mighty in his power. His understanding has no limit. Our confusion arises due to our lack of understanding. That's how confusion emerges. I don't get it. I don't understand this. I don't see this. It just doesn't make sense to me. And the reason for that is because we fail to understand what we see. It's like a teacher standing beside a pupil who just cannot see how the mathematical formula works. And simply because they're confused about it doesn't mean that it doesn't work. They just don't understand it. They can't piece it together. They can't see how it fits. But the teacher, when he is standing there, looks at the same formula and knows exactly how it works. They see what the pupil cannot. Now, it depends upon the pupil at that stage. When they see that layout of numbers, because they don't understand it, do they then say that it cannot be understood? But they know that the teacher may have a capacity to unravel that formula, to make sense of it. It is more dependent at that point on the trust that the pupil has in the teacher as to whether they will accept that it can make sense, even though to them at present it doesn't. When it comes to trusting God, there is a certain similarity. I may look at life, I may look at the set of my own personal circumstances, I may view what's going on around me and I said, it doesn't make sense. But the reason it doesn't make sense to me is because I do not understand everything that needs to be understood. And the blessing is that I'm not God. But the greater blessing is that I can trust one who is. And that's the wonder of his sovereignty. In that what we fail to understand, God does. And trust is about abandoning ourselves over to his power, his understanding, his love, his grace, his mercy, his goodness. That these are qualities that he possesses. What a great psalm this is. Because when we emerge into a new year, 2018, we can do so with confidence that God knows all things. He is not limited by understanding. He possesses a full and complete understanding of how this universe works, of how our lives work, of what he can impart to us. He will make provision. He has promised that. So regardless of our lack of capacity to understand or see, if we abandon ourselves to him, he will sustain us through those moments because he has the power to do that. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. What will 2018 entail? We don't know. Will it include some moments of difficulty or tragedy or upset? Who knows? We as Christians are not safeguarded from those moments, but nevertheless, we have a choice to make. Who do we trust? Do we trust in our capacity to deal with such difficulties? God forbid. God's delight is not in our strength or our power or our capacities. But in many senses, he's delighted when we understand our weaknesses. His pleasure is not in the strength of a horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. It doesn't matter how robust or how strong we feel. Under crisis, we can crumble. And under crisis, we can experience the most difficult pain. But he has made a promise that the one who has all power and the one who knows all things and understands everything can provide for us healing for a broken heart and bind up our wounds. In order for God to do that, in order for God to be able to bind up our wounds and heal our broken heart, it presumes that we have a broken heart and wounds to heal. We as Christians are never saved from that level of brokenness. But we are given a promise that he will do this for us. He will heal us. He will bind up our wounds. Our broken heart will not consume us nor destroy us. It certainly has the capacity to do that. Our lives can be terribly broken at times by what we experience. And the brokenness itself has great power, but it is not all powerful. When we surrender ourselves to God, the one who knows everything knows how to fix a broken heart. He knows how deeply hurtful tragedy can be. He allowed his son to experience life, not at its best, but at its worst. He allowed everything that humanity could throw at his son. What was it that Jesus experienced that you won't? What was he ever subjected to that you necessarily are not exposed to? Didn't Jesus walk this earth, his own son? Wasn't he born into the most humble of situations and circumstances? Wasn't he surrounded at birth and born in vulnerability? A helpless child entrusted to a mother probably of 14 or 15. A mother who would have responsibility to raise him. In the frailty of that moment, Jesus was born into very human circumstances. He was taken into his father's shop. The Son of God having to work along with a human being, helping his earthly father in the mundane job, walking the streets of a little town with little prestige, mixing with his earthly cousins and friends, being taught by others, the Son of God being taught by a human being. Can you imagine the humility of Jesus to listen to instruction from broken people? Such humility to walk this world. His innate goodness not truly understood. He then began the experience of people misrepresenting him, misunderstanding him, giving false accusation, being ostracized from the religious authorities, being subjected to ridicule, being exposed to the hardship of others. This is a God who lived in perfect harmony with His Father and the Spirit. This is a God who shared heaven. This is a God who listened to the praises of angels coming to earth. Now this is a God who sees man's inhumanity towards what He has created. He sees the beggar begging for food, having to rely on the generosity of others. He sees the leper being excluded into a colony, not able to rejoin people or their families. No one is willing to touch them. No one can associate with them because of the fear of being contaminated by their illness and not being fit even to worship or to praise God. He sees the morally fallen, who rather than being restored are made the subjects of humiliation, being dragged out onto the streets and made a moral example of. He sees the wickedness of men's hearts who want to kill Him. And He sees the fickleness of friends who desert Him. He looks at the corrupted world system that wants to punish Him. He looks at the weakness of Pilate, incapable of saving Him. He feels the whip lashed across His back with leather and bone, and it rips His flesh. Son of God is beginning to bleed. He feels the agonizing pain of one lash on another. He looks at His accusers and the Roman soldiers, and one is prepared to slam that crown of thorns as an act of humiliation of His kingship on His head. He looks into the eyes of the one who does it and has no remorse. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He is in pain. Emotionally, physically. So much so His heart is breaking. Because the emotional pain that He carries has physiological effects. Because He's in a moment of extreme anxiety. He is nailed to a cross. He is cruelly treated. So what does 2018 hold for you? Nothing that Jesus doesn't understand. God understands and knows everything, and you don't, and I don't. And if 2008 is going to compel us towards anything, let it just be to say, God, You understand. Help me trust You. Help me abandon myself to You. In the midst of all that I experience, may I experience Your grace. God not only knows all things, but God can do all things. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Beginning at verse 25. Or verse 24, again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then turn with me please to Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me? God can do all things within his character and nature. He is consistent in how he applies himself. He can do all things. He not only knows everything, he can do all things. And what is impossible for you to do as a human being is possible for God. The first example of that in Matthew 19 is your own conversion. You cannot save yourself. There's an impossibility. That's why Jesus bore all the pain that he did. That's why he went to the cross, so that by his stripes you could be healed, so that he could truly bind up the brokenhearted and heal them and restore them. That's why he wants to come to you and journey with you in life. He wants to save you. 2018 can be the beginning of that experience for you. Maybe even today is the beginning of that experience. He can transform your life. He can become a friend that even sticks closer than a brother. He can come to you through the watches of the night when you can't even sleep, and he can journey with you. He wants to share life with you, and he wants to share heaven with you. But he can't force himself upon you. He's consistent with his character. He shows, he demonstrates, he illustrates who he is. He reveals who he is. It's up to us to respond to his revelation, to the grace that he provides, to the salvation that he offers. And you might be sitting there and thinking, well, he can't save me. I've committed too many sins. I am an impossible case. I lack the ability to believe. But be like the centurion, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Come to me. Give me what I cannot give myself. Strengthen me when I have no strength. Even though I am weak, I know that you are strong. You need to impart this to me, God. This is an act of humility on our part, of where we surrender ourselves to the God who knows all things and the God who can do all things. And it begins with your salvation. Today you need to do that. You don't know what 2018 brings. What if you were to go out into a Christless eternity? What if you were not to make the decision that you know you need to make? You cannot guarantee another breath. You can't do it. You can't even guarantee you would make it to the end of this service. No one can. And that's why the Bible says now is the day of salvation. God wants us to respond to him in the present, always now, never later. Now is the moment. It's the moment he guarantees. The only moment that you're guaranteed is the present moment. And so this is not a decision that you can delay. It's not a moment that you can defer. You have to make that decision when God is present. Because for an unbeliever, there will be a day when he will not be. And God forbid that it would ever be this day. Because this day would turn into an eternal day. And so, what is impossible for you to do, God will and can do. Surrender to him. And is there anything too hard for him? For the believer? No matter how hard life gets for you, it's not too difficult for him to provide what you need. But we need to be in a position to receive it. We need to allow ourselves to abandon every purpose that we possess to the purposes that he has. This is about surrendering control of our lives, attempting to fix it, attempting to orchestrate our futures, attempting to bring about our own wishes and desires and fulfillments. And when we do, God can do all things. What gives you confidence in 2018? That he knows everything and that he can do everything that you need done in your life? Is that not a wonderful promise? Isn't it? That he knows all things and he can do all things. the level of trust that we need to possess is just say, God, you are God. And finally, he not only knows all things, he not only can do all things, but one day he will restore all things. Turn with me to Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 and 12. David's prayer. Praise be to you, Lord God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks and praise your glorious name. And then turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians 1, verse 20. Beginning of verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And through him to reconcile to himself all things. This is a broken planet. We have broken lives. The God who knows all things, the God who is possible to do all things, will one day reconcile all things. Because of his death on the cross, this broken world will be repaired. Our broken lives will be totally restored. The universe will be in perfect harmony with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We will receive perfected lives in a glorified body. We will no longer be the subject to sin or to separation from God. The total and final reversal of all that has gone wrong will be put right. And we will live in eternity with him forever. What prospects? I mean, if you could see a travel brochure with a holiday just like that, you wouldn't think for a moment to put a deposit down on it. There wouldn't be a day that you wouldn't be waiting for that final day at work when you could eventually pack the bags and go on this wonderful holiday, this destination. It would almost appear to be too good to be true. And yet the picture that Jesus paints and that all the apostles believed in and every believer has to accept is that while we experience a level of brokenness now, and whilst we understand that 2018 may throw at us some very great difficulties, some things that will leave us with a broken heart and wounds that need to be healed, that we can believe that God not only knows all things, that God can possibly give us all that we need on earth, but it will not take away our brokenness. But we also have a confidence that the sovereignty of God is working towards a purpose in our lives which says all of this I can help you with until that final day when I will take all that is wrong away. That is my promise to you. And the reason that I leave the church and God's people in this broken world experiencing some of the brokenness is because I still want to reach people. I still want to reach the lost. And I know I can supply the need of a believer, no matter how difficult it is, to stay around long enough on this planet to tell others that I love them. But one day I will conclude the history of this planet in its brokenness and replace it as I reconcile all things to myself, where heaven and earth are in perfect harmony, where every believer receives their reward. What a wonderful day. Excuse me. What a wonderful moment when he reconciles all things to himself. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you excited about that day? Is that a day you're preparing for? Is that a day that you're living for? Every difficulty, every tragedy, every moment, every heartache, every pain, subjected under the sovereignty of God, to the God who knows all things, to the God who can do all things, and the God who will one day reconcile all things to himself. It's what propels me in ministry. It's what keeps me going. It's what gives me the strength to do what I do. I see brokenness in a world that is tragically impaired. I have seen the sins of others commit the most atrocious acts of sinfulness towards others. I have been subjected to children who have undergone extreme pain in their upbringing. I have watched the illnesses of friends and family. I have stood at the gravesides of so many people. And as I get older, I understand the depth of bond that I had. I recognize the hardships, the difficulties, the tragedies. I'm a pastor, first and foremost. And in the reality of joining with people in lives, I am not just subjected to one person's pain, but many people. What stops me from giving up? What stops me from saying I don't want to experience this? It's this truth that one day God will reconcile all things. He will restore what is broken. And I have this burning belief and desire. When I sit with someone who's ill, when I see the frailty of human life, but I have total and full confidence in that that person trusts the Lord. Even though they might not understand him, even though at times they cry out for it to stop, that they can't go on any longer with the heartache and the pain. In those moments, I know that God still loves them, that God still cares for them, that he understands what they don't, that he is able to give them what they cannot give themselves. But I have this wonderful, propelling belief that it doesn't end there, that the pain will stop soon, that the God of this complete universe will come in person, because he's God who loves them. And he said, I will wipe away all tears from your eyes. There will be no more suffering, no more pain, because he'll take it away. He'll take it away. And he'll give them a gift that they couldn't give themselves, eternal life. And in heaven, we will rejoice together as God's people. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful privilege to be a pastor in the midst of pain. Because I know it doesn't end there. That life continues in fullness because God has reconciled everything. He has reversed what we couldn't. And He's given us what we couldn't. He's given us life. And I believe with all my heart that the beauty of heaven is that we gather together and see the Son who suffered so that we could be set free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the one that the Son sets free is free indeed. And when this mortal body gives way and puts on immortality, the rejoicing of every believer in heaven, because they're bonded together in love, that not only now they possess for each other, but God's gift of love, which makes them capable of loving each other in the way that God loves us. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine experiencing the joy and pleasure of such love? Because that's what the Son and the Father and the Spirit possess. So much joy from the love that they have for each other, that we will have the same joy because of such love. And we'll never experience a dark moment again, nor a painful thought, nor physical pain, nor anxiety, nor grief, nor heartache, because we're in His presence for eternity. So when 2018 rolls on, and we go through the highs and the lows, the heartaches and the pains, the joys and the rewards, take comfort from this. It will never end just there. And even though some of us will go to meet Jesus before the conclusion of it, we're going to meet again. We're going to meet again and rejoice and sing and praise Him forever. Won't you join us? Won't you make heaven your home, your final resting place, where all of this life is put in perspective? Because God loves you enough to make a room available. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Have that peace today, that no matter what 2018 brings, it will not surprise God. And He's already made provision that you will not only survive, but you can thrive with the power that He will give you as a gift. Let's pray. Lord, in these moments, may Your Holy Spirit continue to speak. In Jesus' name.